Anyone else watching these guys dance on KG Area 21?
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. And today's Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast is also brought to you by Draft.com. Use the promo code LOFANTASY to get a free entry into a draft with your first deposit. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com, and you can find me as always on Twitter at RedRock_Beeble. We're going to look back at the six games for Tuesday in the NBA. We're going to preview a whopping 12-game Valentine's Day. We're going to answer the question. I don't know if we're going to have time to slip in the player spotlight today, but we'll be back with that tomorrow, most likely, because we've got such a big preview for Wednesday's action. So, of course, Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Hopefully all you guys remembered that it is Valentine's Day either today or tomorrow, depending on when you're listening. So make sure you have got yourselves something covered there for your significant other. And the girls that are listening, make sure you have got something covered for your significant other as well. I have currently got the smoker fired up for Valentine's Day dinner here. I got some pork chops out on the smoker. I will let you know how they all go down. Got some smoking some veggies in there as well, along with the pork chops. So we'll see how that ends up turning out when we finish this show. And I'll probably tweet out some pictures, assuming it turns out okay. But let's talk about NBA action. We'll start off with the monstrous line of the night, and it goes to Karl Anthony Towns of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Townsie had 35 and 12. He hit two triples. He had three assists, a steal, and three blocks, and was a whopping 12 of 16 from the field and hit all nine of his free throws. He started the season a little bit slow, been really critical of the way that he's been passive on offense and the way that Tom Thibodeau has used him. But over the last 2 weeks, he is the number one player in fantasy. In large part, well, not in large part, nearly all of it, because he is taking shots, but he is hitting them at a ridiculous rate. 65% from the field on almost 14 attempts per game, which is right on his season average. But when you're shooting 10% higher from the field, that pushes the value of that category through the roof. In fact, it's four standard deviations away from the average, pushing him way up to the top, averaging 25.5 and 11 with over two threes, 2.5 assists, 0.7 steals and 1.3 blocks. And you can look at that line, and there's actually room for improvement. He could average 2 blocks per game. He could get 4 assists per game. So he could get better than this. Now, he probably won't be able to do 26 points on 65% shooting and 64 true shooting. 79% true shooting, because his 3-pointers have been at 64%. That's an unrealistic expectation, but he is shooting 43% from downtown this season. Obviously a tremendous number for a big man, gone from 34 to 37, now to 43%. Really, really coming in strong. Hopefully, the Minnesota Timberwolves' weird March schedule or April schedule doesn't impact the playoffs in your league. Some leagues it will, some leagues it won't. But he is looking strong, and hopefully the increased usage and increased efficiency can stick for Townsie. The waiver wire line of the night is JJ Barea of the Dallas Mavericks. Barea started again after missing the last game. 19, 5, and 13 assists, 5 triples and a steal. And he has been an underrated fantasy guy this year. Over the last 2 weeks, it's only 5 games, but he's a top 100 player because he's averaging over 9 assists per game and hitting 1.5 threes. The scoring's not great. It's really that value that's coming in assists from Barea. He has started the last 2 games that he's played, and he's had 22 assists in those games. In fact, 30 assists over his last 3 games. If he remains in a 28-minute role starting, we know Seth Curry's not coming back. Devin Harris is gone from this team, so there are minutes there on the wing and at point guard for Barea. He is going to have sneaky standard league value because of his ability to get those assist numbers. And getting someone who can give you 8-9 assists off the waiver wire is not an easy thing to do. And Barea is in a pretty solid position where that could be a legitimate reality for him as we move forward. We saw he got the boost in a minute today. Yogi Ferrell was the guy who lost playing time, and that's fair enough. I'm not a massive Ferrell fan. in terms of what I think he is as a player. Barea, you know, doing some good stuff there. And whether that continues, we don't really know at this point. But it is worth taking a look at JJ and seeing if he's on your wire, especially if you are. If you're terrible in assists, then you probably don't worry about trying to resurrect it now. But if you're in the middle of the pack, you know, the top third of the pack, and you just want to strengthen it, I think it's a really good idea to try and add guys like that. I'm all about, when you're heading into the playoffs, concentrating your strengths, not trying to, I'm really, really bad in assists. Cool. Then you're done with assists. Don't worry about them anymore. Strengthen your strengths. So if you're assists, if you're the third best team in assists, get Barea. Make yourself the first best team. Lock down a category and really start to narrow the focus. That's the way I like to look at fantasy playoffs. I'm going to talk to you now about the sponsors of today's show, and that is the fine people over at Draft. Did you know that your chances of winning on Draft are 80% better than on salary cap DFS sites? That's why Draft should become your new favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros. More than 1 million people have already downloaded Draft 2. You can play in a real-life NBA draft right now and be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code, LO Fantasy. That's right. Play in a real money draft for free just by using my promo code, LO Fantasy. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure that you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Fantasy Basketball listeners a money back guarantee of up to $100. Just search for Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with that promo code, LO Fantasy. It is, of course, Draft Wednesday for the Locked On Podcast Network. So head across, find the Locked On specific contests, use that promo code and get yourself a free entry. It is daily fantasy. It's not salary cap based. It is snake draft based. And I am sure that you are going to love it. The young gun of the night is DeJounte Murray of the San Antonio Spurs. Murray was great in his second game back from that ankle injury. 12-6 with 2 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. And you can look at those defensive numbers and go, they're unlikely to stick. But he is one of the best shot-blocking point guards that's in the NBA and one of the best rebounding point guards as well. Over the last month, he is a top 90 player, only averaging 9.8 points. But it's the other areas where he's helping you. The shooting's been good, 47% from the field. That's decent for a point guard. But it's 1.3 steals. It's half a block. It's 7.5 rebounds and 3.5 assists. I think he probably is a must-own guy in 12-team leagues. In 10s, he's more borderline because he just doesn't have that upside. He's not playing 33 minutes a night at any point with Parker and Mills both there. He's going to be that 25 to 28. He will score 12 points some nights, 8 points some nights. You'll get consistent rebounding, good steals and out of position blocks. And that's where DeJounte Murray's value comes in. I think he can be a really interesting long-term fantasy guy. The lack of three-point shooting and scoring aggression probably puts a cap at some point on his value from stopping him from being an upper echelon guy. But I think he can be a solid long-term starter and long-term top 100, top 70 type of fantasy guy. The dart of the night. I tell a man's not hot. Andy Wiggins, 7-3, no assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 2 of 14 from the field, 3 of 4 from the free throw line. That is just absolutely putrid from Wiggins. He is the 141st ranked player in fantasy this year. And yes, he does score almost 18 points per game, but he does very little else or nothing else that's really a positive. Yeah, he's 1.1 steals. That's a marginal positive. The blocks aren't too bad, 0.7, but these aren't you know, groundbreaking numbers. Bad field goal percentage on high volume. Absolutely atrocious free throw percentage for a guy who was 76% in all three of his first three NBA seasons. He is down at 63% this year, so a real big negative in that area. If you're not punting free throws, it is hard to hold. In any other situation, especially if you are punting free throws, then his value does jump quite a bit. I don't think he's a guy to drop. But he's a player who is not the most fantasy friendly guy that's out there. I don't think there's too much debate about that. Let's take the question of the day now, and it comes from Drew Champlin, who's on Twitter at Drew Champlin, and he says, Would you rather hang out and drink beers with Woj or Shams? And those of you who don't know, Adrian Wojnarowski and Shams Charania, both of them who used to work at The Vertical. Woj, of course, across at ESPN, the two major newsbreakers across the NBA. I have spoken briefly to both of these guys before in Vegas, and by briefly, I mean, hey, how's it going? Yep, how are you? That briefly, but I have spoken to both of them. Shams, obviously, a lot younger. A lot sexier, probably taking a lot of the female attention away. So I guess that depends on how you want to view that, whether that's a good or a bad thing. I think that just through Woj's experience in the NBA, the stories he must have, if you could just loosen him, get him a bit loose, give him a couple of frothies, and seeing if anything can come out of Woj's mouth. He's got the goods over a long period, a particular set of skills that he's developed over a long career. And I think that you could, if you just get him a little bit loose, just get the shirt unbuttoned a couple of notches down, I reckon Woj might be the guy to have a couple of beers with there, but I don't think there'd be anything wrong with hanging out with Shams. All right, we are going to... That's the wrong page. Should have worked that one out beforehand. Just talking about me on the old YouTube here. Just had the wrong page flick up on the screen there. Let's talk about these games now from Tuesday. The first one we're going to look at is the Miami Heat and the Toronto Raptors. Tyler Johnson played big minutes in the last game for the Heat, but he went down to 22 here because Goran Dragic wasn't in foul trouble. And that's what I think what you should be more looking to expect from Tyler. With Dwayne Wade now in the fold, he's going to lose a ton of value, and he's probably a droppable guy in standard leagues. The Iron Shoulder had 28, 2 and 4, a strong night from him. While Joshie Richardson still played 37 minutes and not really hurting in that regard, but wasn't efficient. Still, only 10 points, but 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 2 triples. That's why we love guys like Richardson, because even if they have an off shooting night or an off efficiency night, he can still do things for you, and that's what he did here. Hassan Whiteside only played the 23 minutes. His minutes are going to yo-yo almost as much as a guy like Rajon Rondo. Still had 10 and 10 with 2 steals and a block, and that's just what it's going to be like for Whiteside. And the same's going to go for Adebayo. Bam had 11 and 5 in 25 minutes. He's in a solid-ish role now. Kelly Olynyk's return will hamper that, and I don't think that Bam is a must-own guy. Dwayne Wade had 10, 11 and 6. A really nice game from him, but more of a deeper league sort of a player. Onto the Raptors. The Raptors actually had to play in the fourth quarter here, so Kyle Lowry got some extra minutes. 22, 4, and 8 with four triples and two steals, while DeMar DeRozan had 27, 2, and 4. But Fred VanVleet and DeLon Wright, again, solid. 23 minutes for VanVleet, 10, 5, and 6 with 2 steals. His upside is limited by the minutes that he plays, but his production is enough where you can use him in 12-team leagues as a sort of stopgap sort of a player. DeLon Wright, the same, just depends on what area you need the help. 10, 1, and 2 with a steal and a block for DeLon there. While Jonas Valanciunas, 30 minutes and only 6 points, but 10 boards, a steal and a block. Serge Ibaka did not play a single minute at center in this one. It was Valanciunas and Jakob Poeltl who played all of those minutes. Ibaka's minutes are well down. He did have a nice double-double, but he just can't seem to approach 30. I don't think he's a drop, but he is someone to monitor in your very shallow leagues. And I've been really impressed with the way that Valanciunas has responded to some early season weird minutes that he received. The Jedi.
Hello there.
OG Anunoby, he played through that ankle problem, wasn't really effective. He's not really doing anything in anyone's fantasy leagues this season. The Houston Rockets and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Jimmy Harden, 34, 6, and 13. Chrissy Paul had 13, 8, and 7 with a triple one. That's more of the same from those guys. While Ryan Anderson, still coming off the bench, but played 26 minutes and had 21 points with 6 triples. I'm not looking at this as a sign to add, and I'm not looking at it as a situation where I go, oh shit, I've got to go and stream him in. He can be an interesting guy on a low-volume night like this to get some threes in, but he has just been bad the majority of this year. Capella had 14 and 12, while Marmute and PJ Tucker, who started at the 3 and the 4, and one of those guys will go to the bench when Trevor Ariza returns after the break. Marmute had 7 and 4 when PJ had 10 points with 3 triples. Eric Gordon, just the 13 points in 30 minutes. I reckon he's droppable in 10s, and he's pretty close to it in 12s. On to the Wolves, Jeff Teague.
My name is Jeff.
He looked like he's in danger of losing a lot of minutes to Tyus Jones. He's played monster playing time in the last couple. 38 here, 25, 5, and 8 on good shooting. So that's strong if you're a Teague owner. While Tyus, only 10 minutes for Tyus Jones. We talked about Townsend, we talked about Wigo. Jim Butler was okay without being great. 15, 7, and 6. And Taj had 12 and 5. Just really more of the same from that Minnesota Timberwolves team. The next game we look at, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. George Hill and Jordan Clarkson basically splitting those minutes at point guard. 24 minutes for Hill, 24 minutes for Clarko. Georgie held 7-1-4 and Clarko had 14-3-4. If that's the way they're going to run things, it's going to be really tough to own either of them in standard leagues. Because Clarkson's had two really good games on extraordinarily high shooting. He was 60% from the field again and over 60 in the first game for Cleveland. So yeah, they're things that aren't things that you can expect to continue, but George Hill's value's tumbling. Rocket Rodney Hood had 14 in 24 minutes with four triples. Very much a stream sort of guy, as is the plumber J.R. Smith, who hit 18 points, all of them through triples, six triples with six boards and three assists, one of his better games. All of those guys, Smith, Hood, and Clarkson, all shot at 50% or better. The guy who I was really excited about trade deadline day is Larry Nance Jr. Struggled in that first game, but he showed why I was excited. 13-9, one steal and three blocks. He fits a very specific type of team, but I would be all about having a look to see if he is available. If he gets 26 a night, he is definitely going to be a top 100 guy. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. He played 25 here. Tristan Thompson played 23 as they basically just alternated those minutes at center. Kevin Love's return changes things. But Nance should be getting the bulk of those minutes over Thompson. And if he continues to do so, he will be a must-own guy. So I'm absolutely okay with doing that. Chetty Osman, only 15 minutes, had some foul trouble. But he is not as high an upside guy as, say, someone like Nance. If they got equal minutes, I would take Nance. So that's something. Yeah, Osman is pushing up in some deeper leagues, but not really getting close to 12 or 14s. Onto the Thunder, Paulie George, 25, 4 and 6. Russ and Carmelo Anthony were both back. They both scored over 20. 21, 7 and 12 for Westbrook, 24 and 7 for Melo. While Steve Adams played 42 minutes. He had a big, big game. 22 and 17, two steals and a block, 12 offensive rebounds. A huge game for Adams there. Of course, with Melo and Russ back, Fat Face Ray Felton and Pat Patterson moved to the bench. But Alex Abrines remained in the starting lineup. He scored 0 points. The other starters combined for 100 points, I think it was. Actually, I probably should add that up. No, not quite. Almost 100 points. He had 0 points. He had been playing well and been interesting in terms of streaming for threes. I don't think that changes anything here. It just wasn't a good performance from him. The Atlanta Hawks and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Undertaker, starting again, 28 minutes, 13 and 10, a steal and a block. The fact that he broke his leg and then came back and played 20 minutes off the bench and could not get Miles Plumlee out of the rotation is one of the more odd rotation decisions of this season. Plumlee is terrible. I don't understand why we took so long to get Dedmon back in, but Plumlee now out of the rotation entirely. Dedmon looking strong, and he is a must-own guy. The Baptist, John Collins, only 23 minutes, continuing to frustrate us, but 4 and 5, a steal, and 4 blocks, providing value. He's the 105th ranked player over the last month. So despite all our protestations about low minutes, and I've got to drop him, he's still the 105th ranked player because he's able to do things like rebound and steal and block and field goal percentage in a very similar way to Larry Nance. I'd probably own Nance over him just because I feel more confident of Nance's minutes pushing up in the short term. But Collins, if he gets to 30, then he smashes through it. But it's feeling more or less and less likely. DeAndre Bembry returned. He was a guy who I was pretty interested to see what he could do in the preseason and just has been injured and terrible for a lot of it. He cut into Tyler Dorsey's minutes here. Dorsey had been playing 25 a night. He went down to 13 while Bembry played 12 of those. So that's going to really handicap what Dorsey can do, but it's not going to give huge upside to Bembry. But he is a name to watch in case they turn over some stuff. Or some extra minutes to him. Schroeder had 18-3-4 and Bazemore had 17-5-4. Onto the Bucks, the Muppet John Henson was out, so we had Tyler Zeller and Thon McCur. McCur started, had 12-3 in 25, while Zeller had 14-8 in 23. I do worry that they're going to play all three centers. I worry about that, and I think that Henson could find himself at like 24 instead of 29 minutes, which would obviously shit us as Henson owners, but we don't know if that's what's going to happen. Zeller had a good game, but don't expect too many more of those. Bledsoe had 14-3-9. And 3 blocks, which is huge. Middleton 21-7 with a 1-1, and Yanni had 15-15 with 2 blocks. So good games from all their good players, while Tone Snell had 6 points in 31 minutes, not classifying him in the good player group. Also, quick note on Jabari Parker, 18 minutes for Jabari, 7 points. They are going to be very slow in ramping up his minutes. I wouldn't be expecting him to even get to 30 before March. and players coming back from ACL injuries, they often have real trouble with efficiency. We're seeing that from Parker at the moment. So if you're in a battle for the playoffs, holding Parker is probably not going to help you get to the playoffs. You might need to make a move and drop him. I think we're still, you know, 3 weeks away from him even pushing close to 30 minutes, given how conservative they will be in terms of his minutes. The Sacramento Kings, Dave Yeager, because Vince Carter used to play in Dallas, he decided that it's a good idea to play him 27 minutes. We've seen this before. Big minutes in Charlotte, big minutes in Toronto. I think he had big minutes in Memphis as well. Really a odd way to run a basketball team, but what do I know? 8-4-7 for Vince with 3 steals. There is, I guess the best thing I can say for the Kings at the moment, there's no change to the rotation or the lineup at the moment. Everything is identical every single game, and that involves playing all of their veterans. Zedbo, 26 minutes for Zach Randolph. Yeah, he's okay as a 12-team league guy. Bogdan Bogdanovic had 19-5-4, and De'Aaron Fox had 11-4-7. Willie Cauley-Stein, yeah, he can be better, 10-4 with 2 blocks there, while Bud Hield, another under 20-minute game, 8 points. They do not, well, Dave Yeager does not rate him. That's one thing I agree with Dave Yeager on. I still think they need to be giving Bud more than 17 minutes, but I don't think that he is a quality NBA starter, and it appears like the Kings don't believe that either. On to the Mavericks. Dwight Powell moved to the bench, but his production was fine. 18-6-5. He is a strong guy to own in 12-team leagues, while the Pencil had 18-5 and Dirk had 12-6. Dennis Smith, 17 points. You're going to hurt your percentages. We're aware of that. Nice 17 there from him, while Wes Matthews had 13-5-2. And Doug McDirt in the Tone Snell sweepstakes, he had 6 points in 19 minutes, doing as little as possible. The last game of the night, the San Antonio Spurs and the Denver Nuggets. The Spurs on a back-to-back, they traveled to Denver. Powell, he did play, surprisingly, as did Manu, but had his minutes limited, which is something I mentioned yesterday. 21 minutes for Powell, 10-7, and that enabled Joffrey LaVerne to go off. 26-11 in 24 minutes for LaVerne with a block. When Aldridge are at full go, I wouldn't be counting on LaVerne to even play every night or put up numbers anywhere near that. Dan Green had 2 steals. Tone Parker had 17 points. Very little to see with San Antonio. Bertans and Kyle Anderson Bertans are right, 12 points. Anderson was horrendous. And he had his minutes really reduced in this game. But he is still a decent low-end guy while Kawhi is out. On to the Nuggets. Nick Jokic, 23-13-11.
It's pretty good. It's pretty, 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 pretty good.
The Blue Arrow was also good, playing through this chest issue, so good to see him play actually big minutes. 17-5 with 2 steals, while Gaz Harris had 15. Gaz Harris played 47 minutes. That is a ton of minutes. While Baby Neck, 3 strong games after the trade deadline for Wilson Chandler, 17-8-5 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. I don't think that he is a must-own guy. I think he's a 14-teamer, but you could have a look at him in a 12 if you just needed a temporary boost, at least until Paul Millsap returns. With Chandler playing this well, Trey Lyles has seen his minutes drop down. They also had Torrey Craig as a DNP CD in this one. I don't really understand why they... Now, maybe I'm wrong in the interpretation of the rule, but Craig was at the arena. So that still counts as one of his 45 days. Surely, if he's there with the team, it's not like 45 games that you play. It's with if you're with the team for 45 days. So what counts as being with the team? Unless he just came there and watched but wasn't officially part of the team for that day? I'm not sure. But regardless, they took Craig out of the rotation and added Darrell Arthur and Malik Beasley into it. All right, that does it for all the action from Tuesday's games. I am going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to preview a big, big Wednesday in the NBA where we've got 12 games on Valentine's Day. So I'll be back to talk about that very shortly.
Please don't eat me. I said please don't eat me. If I'm
long one today. I'm going to skip the player spotlight. We'll have that return for tomorrow's show. We'll go straight into the perfect DFS lineup. On FanDuel, we had Kyle Lowry, 43.8, JJ Barea, 43.5, Jimmy Harden, 62.7, The Plumber had 32.7, LeBron James had 56.6, Wilson Chandler, 46.1, Baby Neck. Mallow had 37.4, Larry Nance, 38.8, and Joffrey had 45.9 for a total of 407.5, and that cost $59,500. On DraftKings, Harden had 67, Barea had 48.75, Baby Neck had 42.5, Nance had 35.25, Townsie 64.5, Jeff Teague 43.75, Laverne 48, and Steve-O Adams 51.75 for a total of 401.5, and that cost $49,800. When I talk about DFS action, I talk about, you know, low volume slates, a two-game, three-game slates as being nightmares to play in. And if you can, try and avoid it, which is going to be the case for Thursday. 12-game slates are pretty bloody close to being the same thing. There's so much weirdness that goes on these sort of slates. So we need to be really careful with what we're putting out there and the sort of lineups that we're running. We're going to go through it all, of course, but there is a lot more variance, especially in cash games, that you need to be careful of. The first game of the night, the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers are favored by 7, and the total is 201.5. Justin Anderson is dealing with a sprained ankle. If he is out, it just means more minutes for Timotei Luwawu-Cabarrot, and maybe Marco Bellinelli makes his Sixers debut. Overall, this is not a game that looks great for DFS purposes. You've got your big name guys there, of course, but overall, it's not something that, where there's heaps of value standing out. At point guard, we've got the Iron Shoulder at 7,000. He had a good game today against Toronto, but I'm not so certain that I want to be using him at that price against this opponent. Tyler Johnson, no chance of using him at all. Well, Timothy John McConnell at 5,200. Destroyed the Knicks. The Heat point guard defense is a little bit of a different scenario than going up against what Miami can do, so I don't think that using McConnell at that sort of a price is prudent. At shooting guard, JJ Redick at 5,000. I think there's limited upside with Redick, but I don't mind that value for cash. I think he can come in at 25 or 26 pretty comfortably. Dwayne O'Wade at 47 had a nice performance today on a back-to-back. There's probably a chance that he actually sits this one. We haven't heard anything at this point, but I wouldn't be looking too interested in him. If he is out, then Tyler Johnson does get a little bit of a boost. The Duke at 3,700, Wayne Ellington, he's always just a GPP sort of guy, I believe. At small forward, Bob Cubs at 56, hasn't really been cracking through that value all that often, but I do think that he is an interesting tournament sort of a guy, but that's it. Justice Winslow, no. Joshy Richardson at 6,700 is probably just probably a little bit high, so I'd probably leave that one to myself. At power forward, Jimmy Johnson at 4,300. I think you have to consider that for tournaments. You definitely have to put it in your player pool there. Šarić at 6,700. Nice that the salary has come down for Dario, but the matchup's not great. And I just think that's probably a bit too high for Dario on FanDuel. While Benny Simmons at 8,900. No problem using Simmons almost every night that he's out there. As long as his salary doesn't push above 9, I think he's fine at that price. At center, Hassan Whiteside at 7,600. He's just up and down. It's really tough to know what you're going to get from him on a nightly basis. Embiid might be a decent matchup, but we know that Embiid can stretch out to 3, so that could be a real problem. So I wouldn't be interested in Whiteside in cash. I'd look at him more as a tournament guy, whereas Embiid at 10,200, I think that's, again, more GPP than cash just because of that above $10,000 price tag. Let's have a look at the DraftKings situation here. I like Šarić a lot more over there, 6,200 for Dario, and Bob Cove at 5,200 is definitely an interesting GPP guy, same as Jim Johnson at 46. Simmons at 8,000 I like for cash. Embiid at 9,700, also a pretty good cash option on DraftKings. Let's go on to the next game now. We've got the Charlotte Hornets and the Orlando Magic. Dwight Howard goes back to Orlando. The Hornets are favored by 5, and the total is 213 points here. At point guard, Kemba Walker's at 8,600. It's awesome when point guards go up against Orlando. This shouldn't really be any different, so I like Kemba for cash, and I like him for tournaments. Or DJ Augustin and Shelvin Mack, 5,400 for DJ. And then where's, if I can't even find Shelvin's name. Oh, there he is. Shelvin's at 4,800. Only tournaments for both of those guys. But I think for DJ, I'd feel a little bit more comfortable just because he, at this point, is the starting point guard. Evan Fournier at 6,700. That's a fade to me against a tough shooting guard matchup with Nick Batum. And as for Batum at 6,200, I actually think this is a strong spot for him. He was pretty piss poor in his last couple of games, but this has got 35 or and up written all over it for Batum. At small forward, we've got Kid Gilchrist at 4,000. You don't want anything to do with that. Jez Lamb, no. John Simmons, no. But then it's a me, Mario Hezonja, 6,200. No As Gordon, no Nick Vucevic. 6,200 for Mario. I'm in on that. He's putting up strong numbers nearly every time he's out there. The matchup's not an overly challenging one for him. Totally fine to use Mario. Ken Birch at 4,400. No Vooch. He played more minutes than Biyombo and has in the last couple of games. He is a tournament upside sort of a player who has got a really strong matchup for him here. Centers going up against the Magic have put up, against the Hornets have put up some pretty sizable totals. I think at 4,400, Birch is a tournament guy. I wouldn't be wanting to use him in cash though. Marv Williams, Frank the Tank, no. For none of those guys. Dwight Howard, 8,300. I think 8,300 for Dwight is not a bad cash play. I'd feel okay about using him there. Bismack Biyombo and Cody Zeller, I'd have no interest in whatsoever. On DraftKings, Ken Birch at 36 again, in a really, really strong spot here. Well, DJ Augustin at 5,000 is an interesting tournament guy also. I love Kemba, I love Dwight. They're both solid cash plays over there. While Batum at 62, probably just a touch high on DraftKings, but there is some tournament upside in what Batum can do in this matchup. The next game we look at, the Atlanta Hawks and the Detroit Pistons. The Hawks just beat the Pistons not that long ago. The Pistons are favored by 8.5, and the total is 211.5 points. At point guard, Dennis Schroeder's at 7,400. I feel good about Schroeder here. Fine for cash, tournament upside. He's the only guy who's putting up or getting big minutes on this team on a regular basis. The rest of the point guards, you've got Delaney, Isaiah Taylor, Jameer Nelson, Langston Galloway, Ish Smith. I don't want anything to do with any of those point guards. At shooting guard, Kent Bazemore at 56. Strong game from Kent today. Fine at 56. Cash and tournaments, totally fine with using him. While Luke Kennard, can't rely upon him to get enough minutes. At small forward, the artist formerly known as Taurean Prince. He's at 4,000. Played 30 minutes today, so that's a good sign, but he didn't produce the goods. But at 4,000, you have to look at him as a tournament guy. I think you have to consider him there. While Reggie Bullock at 47. Love what Bullock can do. He just does so little in many other categories that 4,700 is not an easy number for him to get past in terms of value. While Stan Johnson, his value has been suppressed by the arrival of Jim Ennis. Not using Ennis though. At power forward, the Baptist at 5,100, just an upside tournament guy. Actually dropped 27 today and exceeded his value. So he's an interesting tournament guy. Ersan's at 46, and I like him as he's a decent tournament guy. I would almost say cash if I just didn't have the fear that he'd played 19 minutes, but he has some value there, Ilias. Over. Blake Griffin's at $9,000. I like the matchup for Blake. Absolutely fine for cash and for tournaments also. At center, we've got Andre Drummond. Love him here. 10-6. Great matchup. Dwayne Dedman at 57. Also love him. I could use both of these centers and I could stack them against each other. I think it's a really good spot to use both Drummond and Dedman, the Undertaker. On DraftKings, I've got Dedman and Bazemore as strong cash and tournament guys at their prices. The Baptist at 46 is an upside guy. Griffin and Drummond are the same prices on DraftKings as FanDuel. So as we know, with the $10,000 less you've got in that salary cap, that makes him slightly worse value plays. Still something there, especially for Drummond going up against a Hawks team that in general allows centers to go pretty big most of the time. Let's go on to the next game now. We've got the Wizards taking on the Knicks. The Wizards are favored by 5. The total is 207. There is a lot of unknowns here. Tomas Satoransky is questionable. Markieff Morris is questionable. Tim Frazier is questionable. And Jason Smith is questionable. If you have both Satoransky and Frazier out, along with John Wall out, there are no point guards on this roster. Meaning Bradley Beal will be the point guard. You're going to have to get minutes for Jody Meeks. Kelly Oubre is going to have to play at the 2. There is a situation where you could have 40 minutes for Otto Porter, Kelly Oubre, and Brad Beal in this game. So there's a lot of variables. Plus, it's a really favorable matchup. And if some of these guys are out, maybe it can stay close so that Beal has to play these big minutes. as does Oubre, as does Porter. Lots of really interesting things that we need to pay attention to. At point guard, Manny Moutier is at 4,300. Had a good game, had a shit game. Only 17 points in 19 minutes in that last game. The matchup here, I think it's okay for him, especially if Satoransky's out. If Frazier's not a good defender, Satoransky is. He would be a tournament sort of guy. Nilakina at 36. I'd rather take Manny over Frank. And then you got Thomas at 5,600, all about it if he plays. And then if he is out and Frazier plays at minimum salary, he becomes pretty much the player of the day there, Tim Frazier. And if both of them out, Brad Beal at 8,700 is one of the best cash locks that there is. He's still a pretty good spot anyway, but if we have just one of those guys out, you're going to be getting a lot of Bradley Beal action. Timmy Hardaway's at 55. He has been absolutely putrid. It will turn. There's no doubt it will turn at some point. So he should be in your tournament pool of players. Courtney Lee at 46. No upside. Jody Meeks at minimum salary is also a very interesting option with those potential absences of Satoransky and Frazier. He could be forced into bigger minutes and that could be an interesting tournament guy. At small forward, Oubre's at 5,100. All about using him. Cash, if at least one guy is out, you love him, and otherwise just a tournament guy, but I think he's in a good spot. While Beasley at 6,800 should remain starting, despite what Knicks beat reporters might tell us, and he's, of course, worth a cash look. Who else have we got here? Otto Porter at 74. Been putting up some pretty good numbers, Porter. I actually don't hate using him in cash, especially with the injury uncertainty of so many guys. At power forward, Markieff Morris is at 6,100. If he plays, I would use him. If he doesn't, of course, I wouldn't. If he is out, you're going to get Mike Scott. You're going to get... who's the other guy? Oh, Jason Smith, if he's actually ready to go. And you're going to have Marcin Gortat get a boost there also. Luke Kornet at 3,600 had 0 points in that last game. Really hard to consider him a DFS guy, I think. At center, Kanter's at $7,100. Playing some big minutes and putting up some big numbers. I don't hate using him here. I don't think it's the best spot, but the recent trend has been to give him more minutes, and I think that's totally okay. Gortat at 55. If Morris is out, I'd be fine with using Marchin, but if Markieff plays, I think that's a little bit hard to get behind. On DraftKings, Timmy Hardaway and Oubre are some good upside tournament guys. I like Brad Beal, I like Porter, and I like Beasley, but things obviously change if Satoransky or Frazier or Morris are ruled out. Lots of different things can occur, and you can check all those changes over on Basketball Monster with our what-if scenarios, which I think there's about 15 of them created for the Wizards. The Pacers and the Nets. Indiana's favored by 4.5, and the total is 215 here. The only injury of note, we've got, Rhonda Hollis-Jefferson and Caris LeVert are out. TJ Leaf is questionable for the Pacers. At point guard, no Daz Collison for Indiana, so Corey Joseph will start again. He's at 4,300, and he has been putrid and pitiful. But point guards against the Nets, we know that it's a really, really good spot, so you have to include Joseph as a tournament guy. I wouldn't be ready to lock him in cash, but if there was ever a time I'd do it, it's going up against the Nets. Spencer Dinwiddie at 7,700. I feel like that's getting a little bit too highly priced. He is in a decent spot. Corey Joseph, pretty good defender though. Not all that keen on Spencer, mainly because of that salary. Mighty Joe Young at 3,700. Probably not. Shooting guard, Vic Oladipo, 10,200 for Oladipo. He's obviously putting up some huge numbers. The opposition here is a good one for him to go up against. I just think that's probably a little bit too high. While D'Angelo Russell also improving his output at $6,000, there are better ways to go about that. The Blue Swimmers at 5,300. Alan Crabbe's on a real roll at the moment, averaging 37 over his last three. Can he continue it? Well, we know from seeing Alan Crabbe play that that's unlikely, but just a tournament look here. Damari Carroll at 57. I'd feel more comfortable about using Damari in cash, and I would lean to a guy like Crabbe in a tournament if that's the way you're looking. Jumpin' Joe Harris at 45, also putting up some strong numbers. Think he's worth a look in cash also with limited tournament upside. Boyan also in a strong run, but I'm not that keen there, and same with Lance Stevenson. At power forward, Sabonis at 4,900. I think there's tournament upside. If Miles Turner gets into foul trouble, centers against the Nets go off, and that's exactly what Sabonis is. A great matchup and a great opportunity to use him. Quincy Acey at 44 has played over 30 minutes in the last two games. God knows why. Not really looking at him as this awesome option at that price. Well, Thaddeus Young at 6,000. I think Thad's not bad here, but there are better guys out there. Miles Turner at 68, purely looking at him as a tournament guy just because of the matchup. Not interested in cash, but this is a really sexy opportunity for him to get his numbers back on track. Let's look now on DraftKings. I like Spencer a lot more over there. 6,600, totally fine with using him. That's got cash value. D'Angelo at 55 and the Blue Swimmer at 51 are some interesting tournament guys. Miles Turner, of course, worth a look as a center, and same with Sabonis at 54, but their prices are less advantageous on DraftKings as opposed to how they are on FanDuel. The Thunder and the Grizzlies, Oklahoma City on a back-to-back, obviously. Memphis has got Jamichael Green and Chandler Parsons as questionable. So Chandler's on the probable side of questionable. Tim McMahon reported today that he is going to play, but he's officially listed as questionable. Wayne Seldon is out for this team, while Deontay Davis is not on the injury report. At point guard, Andy Harrison's at 4,900. With Tyreek back, I think that's a strong fade, while Russell Westbrook at 11,800. I'm absolutely fine with using that in cash for Westbrook. Mario Chalmers at 36, no, not interested there. Tyreek at 7,500, struggled a little bit in his first game back from his sabbatical. 7,500 is probably just a little bit too high for me to get interested in. And then you've got Alex Abrines and Ben McLemore, and you should be not looking that way. Dylan Brooks at 4,100. No, he's not a good fantasy player. 9,500 for Paulie George. I think that's a little bit too expensive with Westbrook back, so I think that's a fade spot. At power forward, Jamichael Green at 4,600, putting up some pretty good numbers recently, but he is questionable. At 4,600, he'd only be a tournament guy, but if he is out, it's where it opens up, and then you look at Jarrell Martin at 3,600, and you have a lot of shares of Jarrell Martin if Jamichael Green happens to miss this game. At center, you've got Steve-O Adams at 6,800, has struggled against Gasol in the past, and Gasol similarly it's a tough matchup for him against Adams. He's played pretty well against Steve-O. I think they're both fade targets here, just given the matchup against each other. On DraftKings, love Westbrook at 11,300. George is way too high, I believe. Gasol at 7.5 has an increase in value there just because that salary is lower. I could consider using him. Tyreek, Steve Adams, not really feeling too much good about them just given the matchup difficulties. The next game we look at, the Los Angeles Lakers and the New Orleans Pelicans. The Pelicans are favored by 5 and the total is a big 227.5 points. DeAndre Liggins is questionable after suffering a thigh contusion. He shouldn't be in the rotation anyway, so that's not going to have any real impact. At point guard, Rajon Rondo is at 6,300. I've got no idea what Rondo we're going to get. I know that I don't want to ever spend $6,300 on Rondo, so I'll leave that alone. While Isaiah Thomas at 6,700 is going to remain off the bench, but I do think that that's still a pretty decent spot to use Isaiah there. No Lonzo Ball. He won't be back until after the All-Star break. At shooting guard, KCP's at 5,500. Always tournaments for him. While Drew Holiday, 7,900 for Drew. Had 50 in his last game, but I think that's probably just pushing it a little bit too high there for Holiday. I would be a little bit hesitant. While Josh the Hitman Hart at 6,000, that's way too high. At small forward, who actually will be starting at point guard, Brandon Ingram, 6,500. No worries at all about using Ingram at that salary. I think that's fine. While Etwan Moore was just terrible. 14 points in 14 minutes in his last game. 4,300. Just very little upside for Morey. At power forward, Nick Mirotic, 7,500. Love the matchup. Love Mirotic here. I don't care if he starts or comes off the bench. All about him here. While the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, is at 6,900. That's probably just a little bit too high. And Cheick Diallo at 3,800. Been providing nice numbers, but not really any breakout potential, so no real tournament upside there. At center, I love Julius Randle here at 7,000. He's getting a lot of minutes. He's producing well. The matchup might be considered a little bit tough with Davis, but I think that Randle can still put up some pretty good numbers at that sort of a price. While Brooke Lopez at 5,600. I think Lopez at 56 is a tournament guy. Not super strong. Well, Tone Davis at 11,800. Love this for Tone. All about using big Davis. Emeka Okafor, if he starts, I'm not really all that interested at 3,600. I think his upside is pretty limited. On DraftKings, a lot of guys I like. Randall, Mirotic, Thomas, and the future MVP have all got GPP and cash game upside, as does Tone Davis, of course. Let's have a look now to the next game. We've got the Sacramento Kings and the Houston Rockets. The Rockets are favored by 15 points, a huge spread. The total is 216.5 points. So we're in real worried territory in terms of blowout here in this game, which might make you go a little bit lighter on some of these guys, but it's not like Mike D'Antoni is going to be notoriously resting these players. It's a possibility, seems unlikely. At point guard, we have got Chris Paul, 9,600. Love the matchup for Paul. Absolutely fine using it. I don't think he's going to come out and play 27 minutes. He'll still get his 32, 33 and could easily rack up 50 against this Kings team. While De'Aaron Fox at 6,000, probably the matchup you fade him, I think. Eric Gordon, no interest. Jim Harden at 11,500. Look, it's really hard to go past Harden at all times, especially when it's a great matchup like this one. Bogdan Bogdanovic at 57, BB8. I like him for cash. I think there's good tournament upside there as well for him. Budrick Hield, no way. At small forward, PJ Tucker, no. Justin Jackson, Vince Carter, Gerald Green, Jakar Sampson. Has Vince Carter ever played for Houston? Well, the answer is no, so you don't use him. At power forward, Ryan Anderson, 3,600, a GPP guy. That is it. You can't trust him otherwise. Well, Zach Randolph, Zedbo, 6,500 for Zedbo. Just probably $500 too high, so that's a fade from me. At center, we've got Cauley Stein at 7,000. I don't hate the matchup for Will. I think he's priced a little bit too high on Fangio, while Capella at 85 is definitely too highly priced, and I won't be really interested in using him at that elevated salary. On DraftKings, I like Harden and Bogdan for cash. Bogdan at 54 is in a good spot, while Zedbo at 59 and Cauley Stein at 6,000. You could probably turn to those guys for cash, but they are more tournament guys, but nothing wrong with using them in cash. Chris Paul and Capella. Capella's in a better price spot on DraftKings, so he does enter more into your discussions. Let's go on to the next game. We have got the LA Clippers and the Boston Celtics, the Doc Rivers Bowl. The Celtics are favored by 5, and the total is 209 points in this game. Point guards, we've got Austin Rivers at 5,200, inexplicably playing the most minutes of all their guards when he is probably the worst of the lot. But at 5,200, given the way he's being fed the ball, I think he's actually fine to use in cash. Kyrie's at 8,000, that's a big dip in Kyrie's price because he hasn't been producing at that level. He is a GPP guy rather than cash. Rozier at 6,100. I can't get behind him at that price. It's too much. Or Milos Teodosic at 3,600. Not enough minutes to really tickle my fancy. At shooting guard, Avery Bradley has been bad, but 4,100 should get you at least marginally interested as a low-owned potential 35-point upside player. Jaylen Brown at 56. Oh, I think I'd fade him pretty strongly. Lou Williams at 7,000 has been good. The minutes have been coming down, curiously. At 7,000, he is okay, but the matchup is not perfect for him. Small forward, Jason Tatum at 54 and the Rooster at 63. All about using Gallinari here. Not so super keen on using Tatum. For the power forwards, Vanilla Tice is at 38. I don't see it for him. Toby Harris at 65. Marcus Morris at 47. Very little interest in any of those players. At center, DeAndre Jordan, 7,300. I like what DeAndre's been doing recently. His minutes have been up. Centers have had a real hard time against the Celtics this season. Can DeAndre buck that trend? I think there's a possibility for it. So I like to use him at 7,300. We're Horford at 7,000. Again, just probably a bit too high. Not super interested in using Big Al. On DraftKings, the Roosters in a great spot, $6,000. I like Toby Harris more over there as well at $6,100. And DeAndre at 7,300, probably a little bit more out of favor than what he is on FanDuel. Rozier at 58 has a marginal level of appeal, not much. And Rivers at 53 is still a decent-ish enough option over on DraftKings as he is on FanDuel. Next game, we've got the Raptors, we've got the Bulls. The Raptors are favored by 6.5 on the road. The total is 218, and Chris Dunn is likely to return. He is probable, so that's going to eliminate your Jaren Grant action. Delon Wright crushes the Bulls. I don't know why, but he averages 35 points against them the last three times. He's at 4,400. Let's roll again. Point guards in general go well against the Bulls. Let's go back onto Delon. While Freddie VanVleet at 5,000, this could be blowouts. He could be playing the entire fourth quarter. He is an excellent GPP option. Lowry at 76, the blowout and risk here probably leads me to fade Kyle, while Chrissy Dunn at 7,000, I don't want to use him in his first game back in a tough matchup at that sort of a price. At shooting guard, Justin Holiday at 5,200, when will they start to reduce his minutes, if ever? tournament, really. Not a bad cash guy, actually. DeRozan, 85, probably too high given the situation. And Zach LaVine at 7,800. You can take your Zach LaVine and you can use it because I won't be. At small forward, Miles at 3,800. Always a GPP guy with that pop-off ability. The Jedi, no way. The Hammer, 4,600. Not enough minutes for Denzel, even on his special day. David Nwaba and Paul Zipsa, no chance. At power forward, Pascal Siakam, no. Lowry, Markkanen, 6,400. I think that Lowry is okay, but I think there are better power forward options out there. Punch Bob at 6'4". I'd actually rather take Punch Bob in a tournament than I would with Markkanen, especially with his ability to be a flat track bully. Portis could come out there and drop 40 in garbage time. Ibaka at 54. Look, he's been getting close to that value. The minutes just aren't high enough, and I don't have enough faith in the floor, especially with the blowout potential. Robin Lopez at 4,500. Do we get big minute Lopez? Do we get him limited finally? He does pretty well against Toronto, a point per minute sort of a player. So at 4,500, if he gets 25 minutes, then you've exceeded value. So he could be a cheap center to use, but I don't have the full level of confidence. Well, Valanciunas generally does pretty well against Chicago also. More of a tournament guy than a cash guy. Still can't get my head around just relying upon him because I've just been killed by it so many times. On DraftKings, I love Punch Bob at 55. That's great for Portis. And DeLon Wright at 39 is super strong. Everyone else, very similar sort of situations that what they are on FanDuel. Although Valanciunas is a bit cheaper and I would consider using him in cash, which again, it's a tough thing to say. I don't know if I feel great about saying it. The next game, Jesus. The Suns and the Jazz. Devin Booker is questionable. Tyson Chandler is questionable. Tyler Ulis is probable. And Troy Daniels is questionable. While Ravishing Rick Rubio is questionable for Utah. So if Rubio's out, we get more value for guys like the Don. More value for Jingle and Joe, for Royce O'Neal. With Phoenix, if Tyson Chandler's out, Dragan Bender gets a bump. Devin Booker's out. Josh Jackson gets a bump. Alfred Payton gets a bump there as well. There could be some minutes even for Davon Reed if Troy Daniels is also out. At point guard, Ravishing Rick at 8,000. I don't think that he plays here, so we won't be looking too much into him. While Lord Alfred Payton at 7,000. The matchups are negative. He's played really well. If Booker is out, and we hear about that beforehand, I think you could consider Payton, but otherwise it'd be too risky to use. At shooting guard, the Dons at 8,500 has been absolutely crushing it. The matchup's a strong one for Mitchell, but that price is getting a little bit tough. But I still think that he is a guy you can use at that salary, given how well he's played. Booker at 72, even if he plays, I don't care. Royce O'Neal at 4,300. It's a great matchup for Royce. He had 27 the last time he played this team before he really established himself as a solid rotation guy. With Rubio likely to miss at 4,300 for Royce, fine. Great tournament guy and also an okay cash option. Jingle and Joe at 59. That price is pushing up, but he's been playing so well with Rubio unlikely to play. I think that you can look at Joe as a cash guy. TJ Warren at 65 and Joshie Jackson at 55. Give me Jackson at that price just because I'm saving the $1,000 and he does have that upside there. At power forward, Bender's at 4,000. If Chandler's out, that's a great, great option. So he's a tournament sort of a guy, but he is inconsistent. We know that. Derek Favors at 58. Really coming along pretty strong at the moment, Fave. But if it wasn't the Suns, I wouldn't really consider him. I think you do have to look at him as a tournament stack type of a guy. Marquise Chris, man, I don't know how you can. Rudy Gobert, 7,900. Yeah, I like Gobert here. Does well against Phoenix. You know, 50-point upside pretty clearly. I like it. I think it's pretty solid. While Tyson Chandler or Alex Len, I'm not all that interested in getting too heavily into those guys. On DraftKings, the Don at 7,900 is in a really good spot. Gobert at 76 also. I think Payton at 75 on DraftKings is in a fade situation, while Jingle and Joe at 61 also probably a little bit too high, while Royce O'Neal at 43 does have some nice upside. The last game of the night, we've got the Golden State Warriors and the Portland Trailblazers. The Warriors favored by 6.5. And the total is 226 here. Draymond Green is questionable. Kevon Looney is questionable. And Yusuf Nurkic is questionable. If Nurkic is out, Eddie Davis becomes a good GPP option. Actually, solid cash option if we know that. And Zachy Collins has some upside there. Whereas if Draymond and Looney are out, then you're looking really, really heavily at Omri Caspi and even a little bit of JaVale McGee getting some of those minutes, or Dave West as a cheap cash play. At point guard, Lillard's at $9,000. I like Lillard for cash here. I think there are better guys out there, but I like him here. While Steph at $9,600, I think that's fade territory for Steph. Too high. Hasn't played well against Portland, and their point guard defense has been very, very strong this year for some reason. At shooting guard, Klay Thompson, no. CJ McCollum, 69.
Giggity.
I think it's a tournament for CJ. I don't feel good about using him in cash. At small forward, Mo Harkless is starting. He's at 3,500, and he's getting you 20 points. You get 20 points at 3,500, and it's fine in cash. That's really all it is, though, for him. Kevin Durant at 10-2, absolutely fine. I think that's cash and tournament, and I would have him over Steph from this game. At power forward, the Chief.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
He has done some weird things against the Warriors, had some good playoff series. He's at 4,900, just a tournament sort of guy, but he's got an opportunity to have a 30-point game here. Eddie Davis at 38 would make one of the best plays on the board if Nurkic is out, a strong, strong cash option, whereas Draymond at 82, I'd fade him even if he plays. Dave West at 47, that's very high, but if Draymond and Looney are out, I think that's a strong cash option. At center, Pachulia, no. Zach Collins at minimum salary. If Nurk is out, he had 27 points against the Warriors last time. Zach, he can do a little bit of defensive switching, can stretch the floor. He is a sneaky GPP guy. Yesterday, I was pretty interested in Laverne. That worked out. Collins might be my interesting guy today. Nurk at 6,700, DraftKings, Durant and Lillard, both really good for cash and for tournaments, and the same sort of stuff applies for guys like Zachy Collins and Eddie Davis. Let's go through now and talk about the other sites for DFS. Over on Yahoo for tournaments, we're looking at Kem Birch, looking at the Blue Swimmer, Kelly Oubre, the Baptist, Corey Joseph, Reggie Bullock, Ersan Ilyasova, Royce O'Neal, Quincy Acey. And then for cash, we've got Costa Koufos, Jay Crowder, Manny Moutier, DeLon Wright, Fred Van Vliet, DJ Augustin, Bogdan Bogdanovic, The Undertaker, Chris Paul, Victor Oladipo, Andre Drummond, and Jim Harden. And on Moneyball for tournaments, Otto Porter, Miles Turner, Kem Birch, Rajon Rondo, Damari Carroll, the Blue Swimmer, Kelly Oubre, Royce O'Neal, the artist formerly known as Torian Prince, Ryan Anderson. And then we look for cash at guys like Jay Crowder, Manny Moutier, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Jinglin Joe, Kent Bazemore, Kyle Kuzma, Isaiah Thomas, Mirotic, Randall, Don Mitchell, Vic Oladipo, and Jim Harden. And on Draft Stars for tournaments, Miles Turner, Corley Stein, Augustin, Jarrett Allen, Kelly Oubre, Corey Joseph, Manny Moutier, Jimmy Johnson, Frankie Ntilikina, Vanilla Tice, Justin Jackson. And for cash, we've got Cheick Diallo, Royce O'Neal, DeLon Wright, Bogdan Bogdanovic, The Undertaker, Nick Batum, Kem Birch, Nick Mirotic, and Julius Randle, with the high-priced guys like Drummond, Paul, Durant, and Harden all having some value on Draft Stars. We've got one more show before I take a break. Someone asked me as part of the question of the day, what are you going to do over the All-Star break? I'm going to have a break. I'm going to cook some food. I'm going to do some more exercise. I'm just going to wind down. I'm probably going to spend a lot of time looking at rest of season projections on Basketball Monster as well, but there'll be no podcast until the day before action gets back. I hope you guys enjoy it. We've still got one more show this week, of course. That's tomorrow. If you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, go and leave a 5-star review. And you can also find it on Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Spotify, and on YouTube, where you can leave a thumbs up, subscribe, or leave a comment below. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Wes Awundu.